homosexual acts between individuals are immoral, and that we should not condone immoral acts.
That's the voice of Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Pace, yesterday saying that he believes homosexuality and adultery to be immoral and that we should not be condoning immoral acts. Just heard on the news that he regrets having said that, says he was speaking for himself and not as the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. We're going to hear his entire statement here during the first part of Audio Open Lines. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little later on, issues, etc., as Open Lines continues, we'll talk to you about the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff's statement on homosexuality and adultery, and then a Hannity and Combs segment, very interesting, about a church that is harboring illegal immigrants. This isn't the first church to do it, but this is the one that's getting the most attention. And then a very interesting discussion between Sean Hannity and a priest on birth control, contraception. Sean Hannity is in favor of contraception. The priest is taking him to task for violating his own church's beliefs on contraception. We'll see how that conversation, if you can call it that, ensues a little later during Audio Open Lines. As I said, I'm Todd Wilkin. Our call-in numbers for Audio Open Lines, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. A little later in the program, does a candidate's personal private life matter to you? Does it affect how you vote? Newt Gingrich is on his third wife, I believe, as is Rudolph Giuliani, both of them running for president. Both of them have admitted to having affairs while married. Does it matter to you? I want your answer to that question a little later during Auto Open Lines, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. The last half hour of Issues Etc. today we'll spend with Uwe Simonetto here in Studio A talking about Lutherans and political influence. He's director of the Concordia Seminary Institute on Lay Vocation. That's the last half hour of Issues Etc. Well, the top U.S. military officer, General Peter Pace, said yesterday, actually a little earlier today, that he would have focused more on military policy and less on his own opinion when he told a newspaper that homosexual acts are immoral. Quote, he says, in expressing my support for the current policy, I also offered some personal opinions about moral conduct. I should have focused more on my support of the policy and less on my personal moral views. Well, what were those views? What was the statement that he made yesterday? Let's listen to it. This is General Peter Pace, who is Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
My upbringing is such that I believe that there are certain things, certain types of conduct that are immoral. I believe that military members who sleep with other military members' wives are immoral in their conduct, and that we should not tolerate that. I believe that homosexual acts between individuals are immoral, and that we should not condone immoral acts. So the don't ask, don't tell allows an individual to serve the country, not, well, I'll just stop there, but that allows individuals to serve the country. If we know about immoral acts, regardless of committed by who, then we have a responsibility. And I do not believe that the armed forces of the United States are well served by saying through our policies that it's okay to be immoral in any way, not just with regard to homosexuality. So from that standpoint, saying that gays should serve openly in the military, to me, says that we, by policy, would be condoning what I believe is immoral activity. And therefore, as an individual, I would not want that to be our policy. Just like I would not want it to be our policy that if we were to find out that so-and-so was sleeping with someone else's wife, that we would just look the other way, which we do not. We prosecute that kind of immoral behavior between members of the armed forces.
Now, I apologize for the quality of the audio there. That was as good as it gets. I want your reaction to what General Peter Pace, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, had to say yesterday about both homosexuality and adultery. His argument is quite simple. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're coming to you live this Tuesday, the 13th of March. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Here's his argument, or at least the argument that he was standing by yesterday. Now he says he was expressing too much of his own personal opinion and should have spent less on that and more time on military policy. He is in favor of don't ask, don't tell. And his reasoning goes a little like this. There are immoral acts. He equates homosexual behavior with, say, adultery between military people. And when these immoral acts are committed, usually, in the case of adultery, if the military knows about it, they prosecute it. So, the best policy to have for gays who serve in the military is, we don't want to know. Because if we know, we will have to prosecute it. That is, don't ask, don't tell, don't pursue. And he ended by saying that he does not believe that we are well served by changing the policy and thereby condoning the open service of gays in the military. And he again equates that with, would we want to change the policy on adultery and say, fine, if officers want to sleep together when they're not married, that's A-OK with us. So he's speaking in favor of don't ask, don't tell. Now, let's lay aside for the moment that he is today said he was merely expressing his personal opinion. My question for you is a little more objective. Do you agree or do you disagree? Is he right or is he wrong? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. I wonder, this is the president's top military officer. This is his right-hand man in the military. Do you expect President Bush to support his statement? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Some lawmakers are already disagreeing with General Pace, namely Senator John Warner of Virginia. He's the ranking Republican on the Senate Armed Services Committee, and he has already disagreed with Pace's opinion. Warner, according to an aide, said, I strongly disagree with the chairman's views that homosexuality is immoral. I wonder if he would agree on the whole adultery issue. Isn't that, that's a good question. If Senator Warner disagrees that homosexuality is immoral, does he disagree that adultery is immoral? Or, for that matter, anything. You know what we're up against here. What we're up against here is a culture that when you say homosexuality is immoral, blanches. All the blood runs out of their face and they get really nervous and ready to fall over. But it's not because of homosexuality per se. Don't misjudge the culture. The reason people get so worked up when you say homosexuality is immoral is because the culture gets worked up when you say anything or practically anything is immoral. That boundary of what is and isn't immoral has been moved back so far that you will make enemies and lose friends by declaring almost anything to be immoral. Also, there's a Democratic representative, Marty Meehan of Massachusetts, who is author of a Military Readiness Enhancement Act that would repeal the don't ask, don't tell, don't pursue policy. And today he said that Pace should recognize the harmful effect the ban is having on the military. Quote, General Pace's statements aren't in line with either the majority of the public or the military. He needs to recognize that support for overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell is strong and growing. Well, I got to ask you, where do you stand on this? The military is obviously a key element in the American social fabric and in our place in the world, not to mention vital to our nation's existence. It takes a fair amount of our budget, too. So whether you look at it from a social, a political, or a financial standpoint, it ought to matter to you what our policy is in the military regarding the open service of homosexuals. Are you satisfied with don't ask, don't tell, don't pursue? General Pace is. Or do you think it needs to be changed because the majority opinion has turned against it or because it's a bad policy? Will you be disappointed if President Bush doesn't come out and support what General Pace, his chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, had to say yesterday? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us right here in the studio with your questions or your comments on gays in the military, issues etc. at kfuo.org. Andy's up first. He's calling from Kirkwood. Andy, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, you kind of explained my comment away, Todd. My comment was going to be, when in the world did we all get so terrified of homosexuals? That's crazy. It's our duty to speak what the truth of the matter is. And I think the general put it exactly right. Homosexual behavior in the military is no different than adulterous behavior.
So you buy the Joint Chiefs of Staff's essential argument, which is if a behavior is immoral, the military is not well served by permitting that behavior to be practiced openly.
Well, it's not only immoral, it's disruptive. Look at the situation that has occurred since we have been having women mixed in with men in the military. The pregnancy rate is out of this world. Because men and women are mixed, they figure that homosexuals should be mixed in as well. We got enough problems in the military.
Thank you very much, Andy. So Andy is, when he says, when did we get so afraid of homosexuals, he's actually saying, when did we start worrying about this segment of the population that wants the open practice of gays in the military because they want social acceptance of homosexuality? Now, see, Andy, you raise a great question. If I am a military thinker, which I am not, but let's just pretend for the sake of argument that I am for a moment. If I am someone who sets military policy, then one of the first things I want to ask myself if I'm going to change policy is, who wants it changed and why? Not that that's not the most material issue, but it's an important one. Who wants it changed and why? Do the advocates of homosexuality want the gays in the military policy changed because it's actually better military policy? Or do they want the policy in the military changed because it's one more step, albeit a small one, toward the public sanction and acceptance and vindication of the homosexual lifestyle? Which is it? If they're against gays in the military because gays in the if they're against the ban against gays in the military because they see it as a symptom of a social ill, that's very different from if they're saying, look, our military men are better served on the battlefield if everyone is open about their sexuality and practice it freely without any military restrictions. Now, here is where General Pace's logic comes in. He says, we've never held that policy when it comes to adultery. Have we? In fact, even if you don't believe adultery is immoral, which I guess you could hold that view in theory until your wife fools around on you, but even if you don't believe that adultery is immoral, you do have to explain why the military has had a policy to pursue cases of adultery as a legal matter. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issue ZTC at KFUO.org. Let's see what Ida has to say. She listens in Ferguson. Hi, Ida.
Hi. I agree with him wholeheartedly about it being immoral, and I admire him for not backing down. The only thing is, I only have one problem. Why should the straight boys be the only one that get killed over there, and the homosexuals live over here without having to do anything but enjoy themselves?
Okay, now that's a very good question. I mean, it sounds like you're dead serious about that.
I am. I mean, why should they have to be able to be the one to die? Maybe that's why there's so many homosexuals over there. They haven't been able to fight in the war for a long time, so they just thrive and our boys get over there and get killed.
All right, Ida, thank you very much. Now, what Ida is going toward, and just bear with me for a moment, what Ida is headed toward is asking the question, can someone exempt themselves from military service simply because of their sexual orientation? You know, there was a time not too long ago in this country when people were trying at anything and everything to exempt themselves from military service. Some were, even if it meant leaving the country. Looking for some exception, some exemption from military service. So she asks a legitimate question. In fact, I think it's one that came up when we were debating Don't Ask, Don't Tell the first time. Well, it could be abused. If you ban gays in the military, you have given a segment of the population, a small segment of the population, a reason that may not be legitimate for saying, I'm not going to serve because I'm gay. What do you think? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727.
You know, yesterday, Rod Dreher, I think this is a better question, actually. Rod Dreher, head of the so-called crunchy conservative movement, talked about the disappointment he had in President Bush in willing to go to bat for a federal marriage amendment. He gave lip service to it, but he really didn't put any political capital behind it.
Well, just to be fair to Rod, what he said was when opposition arose to it, nobody, he didn't push. He didn't
right.
push hard. Go ahead.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
So I think that's the question.
Do you expect the president to back Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Yeah, do you expect to come out in favor? And I think, is he going to come out and say, I agree with what General Pace, do our listeners expect, are hoping for President Bush to come out and say, I agree with what General Pace had to say regarding homosexuality,
and
adultery in the military?
Okay, and let's keep them together. Let's keep them together. See, the show being fashioned here on the fly. Keep it together. Should the president come out and say, I agree with General Pace, adultery is immoral? Because that's part of what General Pace did say. And do you expect him further to say, I agree with General Pace, homosexual acts are immoral? Is that what you expect President Bush to do? And will you be disappointed if he doesn't? I mean, one might take silence on the part of the administration throughout this entire debate as they're not willing to go so far as General Pace did. Or would you be satisfied if the president simply came out and said, look, adultery's wrong. I don't know about homosexuality, but I'll let the American people decide. Would that satisfy you? IssuesETC@KFUO.org is our in-studio email address, and our phone numbers are 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. Tomorrow on the program, The Truth About Muhammad. We're going to be talking with Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch tomorrow. It's audio open lines. We're coming to you live this Tuesday, the 13th of March. In a few minutes, we'll get to a Hannity and Combs segment about a Seattle church that is harboring illegal immigrants. They say this is what the church is supposed to be doing, and others are saying, but the church is breaking the law. I want to know what you think about it. And then a very interesting conversation between Sean Hannity. He's been called on the carpet by a priest saying that Sean Hannity is a cafeteria Catholic. Or I think a little later in their conversation, he uses the term superficial Catholic because Sean Hannity is in favor of contraception. And of course, there's no doubt about it. You cannot read the Roman Catholic Catechism on the church from 1995 and arrive at any conclusion other than that the Roman Catholic Church teaches that contraception is inherently, the words they use, I'll open up my catechism and read it for you, intrinsically evil. The Roman Catholic Church says that contraception is intrinsically evil. Sean Hannity, who makes a lot of hay out of being a faithful Roman Catholic, says it isn't. And we'll hear that conversation a little later during Audio Open Lines. Let's talk first with Paul, who calls from St. Louis. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
Just fine.
You'll have to forgive me. I'm a little bedridden at the moment, unfortunately. The last time I looked at the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and it's been in there a long time, adultery is a court-martial offense and punishable by loss of rank and privileges, as well as time at the little stone house at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. As far as homosexuality goes, I saw the problems in the military over many years, especially when I went from combat arms into the medical department, just how bad the problems can be for the military and to maintain order and control. And if you don't mind me adding something else, since it impacts the military healthcare system as well as the VA healthcare system, I personally think it's a shame that Lieutenant General Kiley, who I know personally, who saved my wife's life on two occasions so that my sons could grow up and one be a pastor and one a active duty Air Force officer for the past 12 years. This man, I served with him when he was a major and is finishing his residency in surgery. He was most caring, most competent of, I would rate him in the top 5% of surgeons I've known.
Paul, I got a question for you before I let you go. Do you expect President Bush to vocally stand behind the Joint Chiefs of Staff on the issue of the immorality of both adultery and homosexuality as it pertains to military service?
I pray that he does so.
Do you
expect him to? I cannot say that he will, because he's told us that we all pray to the same God. So I don't know what he's going to say.
Thank you very much, Paul. Thanks for listening there, and I hope you feel better. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, let's bear in mind, even though General Pace has said today that he was merely expressing his opinion and should have spent less time on his opinion and more time on the policy of don't ask, don't tell, he has not retracted his statement that he made yesterday that he believes both adultery and homosexuality to be immoral, and he does not see the military being well served by changing the policy on homosexuality from don't ask, don't tell, don't pursue to something that, as he said, would allow gays to serve openly in the military. It's simple logic. It is, when he ties it together with adultery, it's hard to argue that there are acts that, at the very least, are disruptive in a military context. And if one act is to be considered disruptive, if not immoral, then why is homosexuality suddenly, in the minds of lawmakers, an exception to that rule? Now, look, I know we've got a lot of President Bush supporters listening to Issues, etc. Are you expecting him to publicly agree with General Peter Pace's statements yesterday about homosexuality and adultery being immoral? He's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. It's not as though the president could not have noticed that the statement was made. Do you expect the president's vocal support for his chairman? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Look here, the issue isn't just gays in the military, it's also adulterers in the military, isn't it? Should we have a don't ask, don't tell, don't pursue policy on adultery in the military? We'll be right back.
Where Christianity meets culture. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Martin Luther said that the most comforting words a Christian can hear are the words "for you." A sinner can say, "Jesus lived for me. Jesus suffered for me. Jesus died and rose again for me." Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for March is a children's book called Easter Is For Me. Easter Is For Me is $14.99 plus shipping and handling. To order the Issues, Etc. book of the month for March, call Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. You can also find this children's book, Easter Is For Me, at our Issues, Etc. website, issuesetc.org. The number again, 1-800-325-3040, or issuesetc.org. It's the Issues, Etc. book of the month for March, a children's book. Easter Is For Me.
A UCLA psychiatrist says in a new book that abortion hurts women.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Dr. Miriam Grossman of UCLA has written a new book entitled Unprotected, A Campus Psychiatrist Reveals How Political Correctness in Her Profession Endangers Every Student. Grossman wrote the book in part to highlight the existence of an invisible group, women and men with emotional scars from an abortion. They are out there in numbers, she says, but many must seek support from outside the mental health system. According to Grossman, individual practitioners may be sensitive to the trauma of abortion, but the mental health establishment denies it exists.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
This presentation of the Meyer Minute on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Thrivent Financial, where values thrive, and online at thrivent.com.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. The things we are spared, even by the slightest of reading. There are several popular books about atheism out these days, including The God Delusion by Richard Dawkins and Letter to a Christian Nation by Sam Harris. I had wanted to read one of them, at least, to know how the opposition is thinking. Apparently, they are not thinking. A little review by Peter Steinfels in NewYorkTimes.com says, quote, "The new wave of books on atheism is getting a drubbing, not from believers, but from other atheists." About Letter to a Christian Nation, James Wood wrote in The New Republic, "I have not believed in God since I was 15, but there is a limit to how many times one can stub one's toe on the thick idiocy of some mullah or pastor, or be told that Leviticus and Deuteronomy are full of really nasty things." And H. Allen Orr wrote, "The most disappointing feature of The God Delusion is the author's failure to engage religious thought in any serious way." So thank you, Mr. Steinfels, for sparing me the money and time of reading shallow stuff. And now I'm wondering if shallow stuff begets shallow stuff. Is the superficiality of so much popular religion, like the televangelist offerings, leading some atheists to conclude there is no substance to our faith? I'm Dale Meyer.
This presentation of the Meyer Minute on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Thrivent Financial, online at thrivent.com. We do more than work. We work with a purpose.
You know, when I first saw the headline, and this was yesterday, Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff calls homosexuality immoral, and the quotation marks are flagging the word immoral, as though the word immoral, whenever we start putting quotation marks around words in headlines, you know something's up. Whatever is inside those quotation marks, the quotation marks are there to call into question whether or not this word should really ever be used at all. It's kind of like the word crazy with the quotation marks around it. Or if I were to say, yes, my daughter is very quote-unquote popular, you know I don't mean popular. You know I mean probably promiscuous. Or I might be being sarcastic and saying that she isn't popular at all. We put quotation marks around words to indicate that we question whether or not the word is appropriate in that place. And that's where the quotation marks were in the headline I read. Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Pace calls homosexuality, quote, immoral, unquote. Now, it also was a direct quote, but we do live in a culture where hardly anything could be called immoral anymore without upsetting someone. So we've got several congressmen, one of them a Republican, who's the ranking member of the House Armed Services Committee, openly disagreeing with General Pace, saying he cannot believe that the general would call homosexuality immoral. We've got others, the author of a bill that would undo Don't Ask, Don't Tell, saying that the general is simply misinformed and needs to get in line with public opinion on this thing. You need to close your door, Jeff. What is the president going to say? What do you expect him to say? Here's Keith in DeSoto. He says, I do expect President Bush to agree with General Pace concerning adultery and homosexuality, whether in public or not. Why? Keith says, because Bush claims to be a Christian. The president, like all Christians, is not called to be popular. He's called to be faithful. Thank you very much. Well, that's what Keith expects. What about the rest of you? Issues ETC at KFUO.org. If General Pace had come out and said, I believe that the war in Iraq is still a just war, the next day you might hear President Bush saying, I agree with my chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, that the war in Iraq is a just war. General Pace says, I believe that homosexuality and adultery are immoral. Should the president follow and agree with what he says? Chris in Grass Valley, California writes, first, if we're going to try to sanctify the military, how far are we going to go? Should the military prosecute the use of pornography in the same way that they prosecute adultery? Which violations of the rest of the Ten Commandments should the military prosecute? What about the sins of lust, covetousness, hatred, etc.? How would they prosecute those? Now, that's a good question, Chris. But I would say the goal of don't ask, don't tell, or whatever policy you have, the previous goal, which was a ban on gays in the military, did not have the purpose of sanctifying the military. Some people might think it's supposed to, but it didn't have the purpose of sanctifying the military. It had the purpose of keeping the military intact, functional, operating at its peak efficiency, with as few problems and obstacles to that as possible. There were not moral considerations that drove those previous policies, but I guess you could say operational considerations. So no one is arguing for sanctifying the military. No one. It can't be done. You cannot make illegal or write a policy against everything that is wrong in this world, especially in the military. So I don't think General Pace is arguing for making the military a more holy place. Chris goes on from Grass Valley, California. Second, it is a given that the Bible condemns homosexual behavior. We shouldn't compromise on that. But why are we out for blood against homosexuals in a way that we would never dream of in regard to other sins? I'll just pause there for a moment. I don't think anyone's out for blood. The question is, can someone practice homosexual behavior in the military with no consequences? Remember, don't ask, don't tell, don't pursue assumes that people are not going to practice it, because then the whole ask, tell, pursue becomes a moot point. I think in the same way, if you mentioned the issue of pornography, if it was discovered that a military officer were viewing child pornography, he would certainly be court-martialed, right? Or if he were producing pornography in the anteroom to his offices, I'm certain he would be court-martialed. There are certain levels of behavior that become disruptive to the military life. In the same way, pedophilia. We don't allow pedophiles to teach in public schools. Is that an issue of whether or not pedophilia is wrong or right? Most people, most, although not all, agree that pedophilia is one of those things that is still on the far side of the line called immoral. However, the reason for not allowing pedophiles to teach in public schools is not primarily moral, but primarily an issue of safety. And Chris concludes from Grass Valley, if original sin could explain a person's homosexual feelings from childhood, and if original sin cannot be overcome by a sheer act of the will, then how is a Christian in the military who struggles against homosexual manifestation of original sin supposed to respond to war that the Christian political right is waging against them? I can't tell. Is Chris saying they can't help it? Look, all sin devolves from our original sin. All actual sins and sinful impulses are there because we are sinful. The question with don't ask, don't tell, don't pursue is not whether or not someone struggles with something. It's whether or not, and we're talking about the military context here, it's whether or not that behavior is detrimental to the military and its function. I'll give it a good example. Someone struggles with an addiction to alcohol. I don't think the military cares whether or not you struggle with it. What they care is whether or not you show up drunk. They don't care whether you're sitting there in angst over whether or not you should have another drink. They care whether you have that next drink. So it's not the military's job to change the heart. You know, they say you can't legislate morality. Of course, you can't legislate morality if by morality you mean getting people to agree what is moral and immoral. You can't legislate that. But you can legislate morality in terms of people's outward behavior. You can say that an outward act of the X variety is illegal. You can't make it illegal for someone want to do it. The example that's always used is, I want to drive faster than 55 miles an hour. But on the stretch of highway that passes in front of my home, that's illegal. The police officer can't pull me over for wanting to drive faster than 55. But he is well within his rights to pull me over for doing it. In fact, he doesn't care whether I want to or not. In fact, if he pulled me over, I was going 75, and I said, but officer, you don't understand. I didn't want to go 75. I wanted to go 55. He'd say, so what? I'm not stopping you for what you wanted to do or didn't want to do. I'm stopping for you for what you did. So anyone else want to? No one's answered the question except for Paul. Do you expect the president to stand behind his chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and to agree with what he said publicly, that adultery and homosexuality are immoral? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Well, here's an interesting exchange. Normally, when you listen to Sean Hannity, either on the radio or on television, you get the impression of someone who is publicly and unapologetically Roman Catholic. He's very open about it. He is kind of the poster boy for Roman Catholicism in a lot of ways. That's why I found this little conversation a bit puzzling from Hannity and Combs.
Well, last Friday, Sean, my friend and partner here, took a moment on his radio show to apologize, not for yelling at me the night before, which is what he should have done, but for eating meat during Lent. But it's not quite the apology that the president of the Human Life International, Reverend Thomas Eichenauer, wanted. He says that if Sean is seeking penance, it should be for his stance on birth control rather than inadvertently eating meat. Joining us now is the president of Human Life International, Reverend Thomas Eichenauer. Reverend, thanks for being with us. Tell me what happened and what your issue is with Mr. Hannity here.
Well, the point of the matter is that I thought that Sean was doing a little bit of entertainment with the eating meat on Friday issue, and the real weightier matters, or shall we say the meatier matters of our faith, he's wrong on. So he shouldn't be presenting these kinds of things as entertainment and then neglecting the core truths of our faith and being in dissent, in public dissent.
He's going to be up in a second, but let me ask you this. Are well-known people like Sean who are Catholic and in the public eye, should they be using their platforms necessarily to preach the tenets of Catholicism when they're in the media? Is that something that one is obliged to do?
No, one is not obliged to do that at all. One is simply obliged not to be a heretic in public. That's the point. If he doesn't agree with his church on that matter, he should not be pronouncing on the matter as if he was the authority on that matter. He's not.
Reverend, let me just say, you call me a hypocrite. You question the depth of my faith. Do you know anything about me and my religious beliefs and my background in religion?
This begins the interchange, and you're going to have to listen very carefully because, as many of the conversations on Hannity and Combs do, there's a lot of crosstalk, a lot of two people talking at the same time and people repeating themselves at the same time. And we're just going to ask you to listen as closely as you can as Sean Hannity. I'll just say it this way. This is a great demonstration of what I've called in writing Bible-believing liberalism, the Bible-believing liberal, someone who is socially, morally, and politically as conservative as you can be. But when it comes to the theology, not so much. That's when they start becoming kind of a little postmodern, a little relativistic, and perhaps a little eclectic. They're willing to compromise in their theology. Their politics, Their social positions, not so much. So listen carefully to the arguments. In fact, Sean Hannity pulls out the liberals' favorite Bible passage as he talks with this priest who's taking him to task for running afoul of his own church, the Roman Catholic Church, on the issue of contraception.
You know anything about me?
I only see the evidence, Sean. I see the evidence of a superficial presentation of one aspect of the
right.
faith.
Superficial. Judge not lest you be judged, Reverend.
Judge not lest you be judged. Favorite passage of theological liberals. Whenever called on the carpet for running afoul of Scripture on any point, judge not lest you be judged. Now, we've talked many times about this passage on issues, etc. It does not mean what Sean Hannity thinks it means. He thinks it means, this is my get-out-of-jail ticket, free ticket. Anytime I say something that someone disagrees with in a religious context, I just say, judge not lest you be judged. Well, look, the judge here, since both men are at least professed Roman Catholics, the judge here is really what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. Isn't that right? Let's lay aside what Scripture teaches for a moment. Since both men say they're Roman Catholic, the judge here is, what does the Roman Church teach on contraception, and is Sean Hannity in agreement with it or not? It's that simple. That's what the priest is taking him to task for. And all the priest is saying is, if you don't agree with the church's teaching on this, then keep your mouth shut. Here's what the church teaches on this. The language is a little stuffy, but I'll hope that we can all understand it together. This comes from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, 1995, which has, by the way, the imprimatur of Pope John Paul II. That means this is what the church teaches. It's not necessarily what every Catholic believes, but it is what they're supposed to believe. Every action which, whether in anticipation of the conjugal act or in its accomplishment, or in the development of its natural consequences, proposes, whether as an end or as a means, to render procreation impossible, is intrinsically evil. Translation, contraception, according to the Roman Catholic Church, as practiced, normally practiced, contraception, that is preventing conception while performing the conjugal act, is intrinsically evil. There's no doubt about this. Now, a little later in the argument, Sean Hannity is going to say, well, the church does teach some form of contraception or birth control. It's the rhythm method, right? Which the church does say is fine. That's actually what they teach is abstinence. The Catechism covers this one, too. The difference both anthropological and moral between contraception and the recourse to the rhythm of the cycle involves, in the final analysis, two irreconcilable concepts of the human person and of human sexuality. They're saying contraception divorces the sex act from its purpose, procreation, whereas the rhythm method recognizes the purpose. All right, you may agree or disagree on the issue of contraception. You may agree or disagree with whether the Catholic Church has this one right. The issue in our little interview here between Sean Hannity and this priest is, how is it that a Catholic says, I'm Catholic, and when called legitimately to answer for his disagreement with his church's teaching, responds like this?
Maybe you ought to spend a little bit more time on the fact that our church covered up one of the worst sex scandals, and I wasn't involved in it. And you know, the fact that public people after that are willing to still be Catholic is something you ought to be applauding, considering the level of corruption at the highest levels of the church, which was frankly embarrassing to every person.
I'm just asking you for basic honesty. If you're a member of this church, you profess what the church believes. If you don't believe it, don't say anything.
Do you know that I went to a seminary? Do you know that I studied Latin? Do you know that I studied theology? Do you know anything about my background?
That's the second time he's raised the issue with the priest of, do you know who I am? Do you know what I study? Do you know what I know? It reminds me of the conversation that he was having last week with Barack Obama's pastor. And that was exactly how Barack Obama's pastor was behaving during the interview. How many books on black liberation theology have you read, Sean? Do you know anything about black liberation theology? He's essentially, I'll just be honest, I like listening to Sean Hannity now and again, but he's changing the subject. First of all, he's pulled out the liberals' favorite Bible passage, "Judge not lest you be judged." And second of all, he's changing the subject from, well, you don't know about me. You don't know how in every other respect, how Catholic I am. When the issue is, if you don't agree with the Catholic Church on contraception, then don't disagree with it publicly.
Anything at all, sir?
It's not apparent, Sean.
It's not. Oh, so I'm not a good enough Catholic for you? I'm not a good enough Christian for you?
No, that's not the
judge
point.
Judge not, lest you be judged,
if you
Father.
You want to pronounce on church issues.
The good book says that.
Well, okay, but the point of the matter is that you're a person in the public. If you're in the public, you're going to be criticized for your public views, okay? You express them, and I have the right to criticize
you specifically
them,
took issue with my position on birth control. One of the differences perhaps between you and myself is that I recognize that not everybody else in the world is Catholic. And as somebody that is deeply, profoundly a believer in life and doesn't want to see abortion, understanding that there are self-control issues for all in society, understanding that people don't share the faith, the Catholic faith, I support the idea of people outside the church. Would you not rather they use birth control than abortion, sir?
Sean, I just want you to be honest.
Answer that question. Would you rather people that are not in the Catholic Church use birth control rather than have an abortion?
This is just amazing. Okay. What he's arguing is, he's not arguing whether or not birth control is, as the Catholic Catechism teaches, intrinsically evil. He's saying, well, it's an evil that we got to put up with so that people don't practice abortion. He's simply saying the reason birth control is necessary is because of abortion. I guess that's a kind of an argument, but it doesn't respond to the issue of whether he agrees or disagrees with the Catholic Church's teaching that birth control is intrinsically evil.
That's a simple question.
I want people to use self-control, and
if
you
they
could
won't,
be preaching that, but you're not.
Well, sir, I say it all the time. I teach my kids not to have sex before they're married. That's my moral job as a parent. But I'm saying for those that don't share your religious faith, would you rather they use birth control or have abortions? Because that's what the reality is, Father.
Sean,
if you don't see that, you're not facing
reality. That's not the reality, Sean.
It absolutely is the reality. How many abortions have we had legal in this country since Roe v. Wade, sir? Millions of them.
47 million. But, Sean, 60% of women going into abortion clinics are doing it because their birth control fails. So how good is birth control helping to stop abortion?
Well, actually, if you want to get technical here, the Catholic Church does support a form of birth control, a natural method of birth control. Is that not correct, sir?
It's not birth control, Sean. It's natural birth regulation,
it's
and it's open
thing.
To life.
Okay, he says it's the same thing. Sean, you really ought to read your catechism again, good Catholic boy that you are. Where is this? The difference, both anthropological and moral, between contraception and the recourse to the rhythm cycle involves, in the final analysis, two irreconcilable concepts of the human person and of human sexuality. Now, that's a fancy way of saying that the Roman Catholic Church does not regard the rhythm method. Agree with it or don't disagree, or don't agree with it. The Roman Catholic Church does not regard the rhythm method as a form of birth control, but actually a form of abstinence in marriage. Look, at least Bill O'Reilly admits from time to time that he's a cafeteria Catholic, that he is a Catholic on his own terms. He's quite honest about that. I think Sean Hannity could admit that, too. Let's see if he does.
It's the same thing to prevent pregnancy. Isn't that true, sir?
No, again, I go back to my original point about the depth of your understanding of the issues. You're a cultural Catholic.
I'm going to say this. I don't really care that you're judging me, Father. I really don't care. But I'm going to tell you this. You know what? With what you're doing here, you are doing more to chase people away from the church. And I would suggest to you, Father, why don't you work on real important issues instead of superfluous issues? If I eat meat on Friday, or you want to call a public figure who is an avowed Catholic a hypocrite, why don't you work on the corruption in the church? Why don't you work on the sex scandal? Why don't you work a change in the attitude that had contributed to the atmosphere that allowed a level of corruption that, frankly, is absolutely morally beyond anything I've ever seen in my life for any church? Why don't you work on real important issues, sir?
I agree with you. And how do you know I'm not working on those?
What are you doing? I haven't read an article about that. Have you ever written an article about that instead of taking cheap shots at people that are publicly Catholic?
Yeah, go to my website, hli.org, and you'll see a lot of criticism of these issues.
Hey, Father,
I'm criticizing you because you're not
and
consistent.
I'm criticizing
and you're
you.
Professing to be a Catholic.
And are you perfect,
not.
Father? Are you perfect in every way? Have you not sinned? Ye who was that without sin cast the first stone.
You guys need a Jew to break this up. But let me ask you this. would Hannity be welcome at
Sean,
your church?
Just be happy I'm not calling you a devil like the other guy.
Well, would Hannity be welcome at Hannity be welcome at your church, Father?
Well, if he renounced his belief in birth control,
would you deny me communion?
I would.
Wow.
Interesting. Okay.
Wow.
All right. Time for the Jew to speak. Thank you both very much.
That priest just committed the ultimate sin in liberal, politically correct society. He said he would deny Sean Hannity communion because Sean Hannity doesn't believe what Roman Catholics believe on at least one of two issues, at least two issues. The meat on Friday and the contraception. Liberals' first favorite Bible passage, judge not lest you be judged, always pulled out as a license to sin. You cannot judge what I'm doing. You cannot judge what I'm doing. Which is your get out of jail free card whenever you do anything. Just try it. Really. It works beautifully. I could say anything I want to right now on these airwaves. Anything I want to. Period. And if anyone calls me to task for it, my employer, the church that owns this radio station, anyone, the FCC, how do I respond? Judge not lest you be judged. I could say anything I wanted to. At all. And if I'm called to task for it by my district president, the theological supervision of my church, I could say, well, are you perfect? He who is without sin cast the first stone. It's a misapplication of both of those passages. Look, I like Sean Hannity. I agree with most of what he has to say, but that's a perfect example of Bible-believing liberalism. Oh, what the Republican platform says, that's not to be deviated from. But what the Roman, what my church teaches, come on. Who takes that stuff seriously? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Always be wary when someone pulls out a Bible passage as their get-out-of-jail-free card. Always be wary when they use those passages, judge not lest you be judged, or he who is without sin cast first stone, as a license to continue to violate God's word. Your reaction to this Hannity and Combs interview? I want to hear from you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. The first hour's up. The next hour straight ahead. This break, a great time to call or to email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org, 1-800-730-2727, or 505-7850. The world, the church would be a better place. It wouldn't be any more comfortable, but it would be a better place if people would simply admit that they are cafeteria Catholics or cafeteria anything else for that matter.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, etc.